You're listening to the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast with Tommy Kalonen, a proud member of the Dunham Audio Network.
Welcome to the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Kalonen. All right, what's up, family? Welcome to episode 21. Yeah, it's your boy, Pastor Tommy Urban D. And yo, I'm just laid back today. I'm sitting in my office. I'm on my little chair today. I just want to talk to you guys today. And today I want to talk about rest. And I want to talk about taking a break and how important that is. Because listen, I know that leaders this past now, we're at like 18 months now. This past 18 months during this pandemic, it has been exhausting, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. For some of us, even financially, there's been different challenges, right? We haven't been able to do some of the same things we used to. And there's so many ways we've had to adapt and pivot and navigate this in a time when there's so much division. It just, after a while, I don't know about you, but all the leaders I talk to are like just tired and need rest. And so I want to talk to you guys how important rest is, because listen, I want to see you guys make it. That's why we do this podcast, is we want to pour into you guys, encourage you guys that are leaders, whether you're leading at work or in the church space, or you're an artist or you're a business owner, entrepreneur. Like, I want to see you guys win. And that's really the heart behind FlavorFest. We want to equip you guys and inspire you guys to build God's kingdom and to be healthy as you do it. We don't want to see you get burned out. And so for me, this past year, one of the things I did was I took an extended break, aka a sabbatical. Most of you guys that are probably listening to this have probably heard of what a sabbatical is. It's basically that. It's an extended Sabbath. It's a longer period of time than maybe just a day or even just a week or two, because a lot of us will take a vacation every year for maybe like a week or two, right? Hopefully you do. But this is really kind of even a little bit longer than that. And so for me, being in urban ministry full time for many, many years, right? Our executive pastor asked me several years back, he said, when's the last time you took a sabbatical? And I'm like, I've never taken one of those. I heard about those, right? I'm cool. I'm good. Just give me a week, give me 2 weeks off, I'll be straight. He's like, oh, nah, pastor, you've been here for 20 years. And at the time, I was about to be at Crossover Church for 20 years. And so he was like, man, you need to take an extended time. I'm like, all right, give me 3 weeks. Because I usually refuel pretty quickly. And so they just kind of kept fighting me on it, the church leadership here. They're like, nah, you need to take a month. So finally, I was like, all right, I'll take a month. Then they're like, why don't you just do 5 weeks? And so I ended up taking 5 weeks off. They kept going. They kept trying to trick me every time. I'm like, why did you do 6 weeks? I'm like, listen, five is it. Like, y'all got me to five, that's it. So back when I hit 20 years of being at Crossover Church, which was 2016, I took 5 weeks off, 4 Sundays and 5 weeks, and I just rested. And it was really dope. I thought I was going to go crazy, but I had it planned out. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a second, so stay tuned. But then when I came to 25 years of being here at Crossover, again, the church leadership was like, hey, when you get to 25 years, we want to give you and your wife at the same time a sabbatical. So I was like, okay, the last one was really good, and I got a lot out of it. All right, cool. But let me tell you something. After leading through a pandemic, like, I was so ready for this sabbatical. So in June of 2021 until the second week of July, me and my wife actually took off 6 weeks, 5 Sundays of not being in the pulpit, and 6 weeks, you know, the time that was in between. And man, I was ready. We needed it. We were just exhausted. We were tired. Now, I wasn't on the verge of like, oh man, I'm about to lose it. I'm about to quit. I'm totally burned out. No, I wasn't there, but I was definitely tired, more tired than I think I've ever been before, with just everything that all of us that have had to navigate this as leaders have gone through. And so I know a lot of you guys can relate. If you can relate and you're watching this on a social media platform, like type in the chat, if you're on YouTube or whatever, like I can relate. I was tired. And so I want to encourage you guys, find some space to rest. Look, I know maybe some of you guys right now can't take a quote unquote sabbatical. You can't take off a month or 6 weeks, or some people take 3 months. I personally think that's too long for me anyways. For some people, great. Maybe I'll do that someday, but I'm not at that season yet. But you got to find rhythms of rest. And so Jesus said this. He said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Listen, I know a lot of you guys out there, you're weary right now. You carry heavy burdens because you're leading people. Many of you are leading churches, you're leading teams of people, you're leading a squad of artists, you know, whatever the case is, you're leading a company. And so there's some burdens, some heavy burdens you're carrying. Jesus says, "Come to me, I'm going to give you rest." Look at what verse 29 says. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So Jesus isn't saying like, "Here, take my yoke." And, you know, the yoke was that thing that went between two oxen. It was like that, you know, thing that pulled them together, and it could be heavy. He's like, "No, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I want to give you rest." And so that's what Jesus desires for us as his followers, as his kids, as his children. He desires to give us rest. He desires for us to be healthy. He wants us to lead from a place where we're solid, not where we're tired and exhausted and we're making decisions on the fly and we got compassion fatigue and all those things that begin to happen when we get really, really tired. He doesn't want us to lead from that space. He wants us to lead from a space of health. And how do we do that? We got to connect with him regularly. And so first of all, I'll say weekly, we have to do that. God designed us to take a Sabbath weekly. A Sabbath technically is like a 24-hour period where we're disconnecting from a lot of the regular stuff that we do. We're disconnecting from that rhythm. And for that 24 hours, we're in a different rhythm. So we're not supposed to be working, and we're supposed to be doing things that give us life. First of all, spend some extra time with God. But second of all, do some things that give you life. For some of you, that might be reading. Some of you, that might be riding a bike. It might be hiking. It might be swimming. It might be playing some basketball. It might be writing something, painting, whatever brings you life, whatever your hobby might be. And then also spending some time probably with some people that you love, whether that's family or some close friends, or, you know, it might even just be watching a movie. It might be binge watching a favorite show of yours if the content's, you know, gonna help you be at peace and rest in some ways. But a sabbatical, a mini sabbatical is that Sabbath, that day of rest that we have every week. I mean, we even look at the beginning of scripture. God created everything, the heavens and the earth, and then on the seventh day he rested. And that was even like an example as a blueprint for you and I. Like, we're meant to work 6 days. Not that you have to work all six of those days, like grind hard, but every 7 days, our body's wired to take a break. And I don't know about you, but there's times when I haven't taken that break, and I'll try to go 10 days or 15 days or 20 days without taking a break. And then you begin to notice like your productivity goes down. You can be grumpy. You're tired. You're not easy to be around. You're talking over people. You're short with people. All those things. Like, God wired our body, designed us to rest. And so when I took this sabbatical, this extended period of rest for me in June of 2021, one of the key things I did was I took this right here, and I just read from it a couple of minutes ago. I took this right here, and I turned it off, and I put it in a drawer, and I just walked away. I was totally disconnected from my phone, and I didn't turn it back on until the end of my sabbatical. Like, I was coming back on Sunday, July 11th. I turned my phone on Friday, right? Like, the world didn't blow up with my phone being off. Now, of course, I had some structure and things in place. You know, my emails had this message that replied, like, hey, I'm on a break until July 11th. I won't be responding to emails till after that. If it's an emergency, contact this person, right? We announced it to the church. The rest of my team and staff took some of my regular responsibilities and duties. We had people lined up to speak, all those things. So there was a lot of planning and prep that went into me being able to turn that off and totally take a break. But so I wasn't on email. I wasn't texting anybody. I wasn't on any social media platforms. Those of you that follow me on social media, Instagram or Facebook, I was like, hey guys, I'm going on a sabbatical. I won't see you till July, right? I'm out. You know, there's some other apps and stuff that I use on my phone and all those things I totally 100% disconnected from. The funny thing was, let me grab it here. I got this. This is my burner phone. This is AKA my sabbatical phone. So it's a baby. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's the smaller version, right? But I got this, and this was for emergencies. So my executive pastor had that, and I talked to him about, I think, three times the whole time I was going. I checked in with him every couple weeks and just asked him how a few things were going. He didn't talk too much shop with me, right? But and then some of my family had that, and that was it. So I wasn't on the phone much. I didn't have any apps on this. I didn't have social media on this. So I wasn't, you know, the only thing I had on this was the news. And so, yeah, I would go and look at the news on here maybe like once a day or whatever. But that was about the extent of me being on the phone. And so really, there was even times where I didn't even pick up my sabbatical phone or look at it sometimes for a couple of days at a time, because it was really, there was nobody that was trying to get a hold of me, right? And honestly, like, some of you might be out there and be like, oh man, I would go crazy. I thought I would too, but it was liberating. It was freeing to take a break from my phone that I normally will look at and check like probably a couple dozen times a day. You know, like, we hear a buzz, we feel it in our pocket, we're looking at it, we're, you know, it can be so distracting many times and it can take us off track. And so totally disconnected 100%, and that was one of the best moves I made. So what did I do the rest of the time then? What did I do with my time, right? I spent a lot of time with family. You know, so the very first week that we jumped into sabbatical, my daughter graduated high school, so that was a big deal for our family. That was the day that I turned my phone off. We went to a graduation. I posted, took some pictures, and then boom, my phone went in the drawer. And then we left, and we headed to Orlando. And we went just on vacation over there, just me and my wife and my girls. We went to some theme parks. We just had fun together. We celebrated my daughter graduating. It was great. And that was kind of like my me coming off of the regular, you know, rhythm of life. And that was me kind of coming down. I was busy at these theme parks with my kids, and we were walking probably like 10, 15 miles a day. So we were tired at the end of the day. But I was resting a lot. Like, we were sleeping like 9 hours every night. You know, at those first, that first week or so, I was sleeping like 9 hours every night. Plus, I was taking naps. There was a couple days, not the days we were in Orlando, but there was some other days during the sabbatical. Sometimes I would take two naps, like for real. And I was telling my wife, like, she's like, I want to lay down. I'm like, go ahead. You can. You have permission. Like, it's okay. You can watch TV. You can take a nap. You could just rest and find things to refuel you. So also did a lot of reading. There were several books that I read during my sabbatical. Like I said, I slept quite a bit, went swimming, still worked out regularly, was still eating healthy. So I didn't like take a break from that. Spent more time with the Lord, more of an extended time with Him, which was awesome. And then a couple of weeks into my sabbatical, I went on a trip, a retreat with some other pastors. And this was just a blessing, man. And I've been in urban ministry for a couple decades, right? And there's been many times I didn't even have money to go do something. And God would always like bless us with the opportunity for a vacation. Somebody would give us a timeshare. Somebody would fly us out to do a wedding in some exotic place. Or me as a speaker and artist, I would go and speak somewhere and they'd pay for my flights. And then we'd end up staying a couple extra days and turn that into a vacation. And so God has always provided. This was another one of those really cool opportunities where a friend of mine called and said, "Hey man, you ever been fly fishing?" I'm like, "Bro, I'm a city boy. I'm from Philly." By the way, if you know anything about Philly and you're wondering what this hat is about, yeah, this is Philly slang right here. So if you're from Philly, you already know. Whatever it is, you might call it the John. So give me that John right there. Or that's the joint. That's the John. So that's a Philly word. Anyways, go look it up. My guy, shout out to my man Todd. He got me this Philly hat. He's from Jersey. But went on this retreat. All expenses paid to go fly fishing up in Montana at this lodge, right? Up in the middle of nowhere. And then we went on this pontoon boat in this canyon and we went hiking and there's bonfires and there was just all kinds of really like great stuff. Not a stressful schedule. It was really like, hey, whatever you guys want to do. And there was only 17 of us. So it was a couple of my pastor friends that were going and then a bunch of new guys that I got to meet that were in ministry in similar situations that I am, leading larger ministries. And it was just great to decompress with some guys and fellowship and just have fun and also just share about some of the, you know, struggles and the issues and get advice and all those kind of things. And so one of the things that was fun on the trip is we went up to this canyon and it really kind of looked like the Grand Canyon with these huge cliffs that were hundreds and hundreds of feet high, but it was a dam, like a reservoir, and there was water in the middle. And so we're on this pontoon boat and we jumped off of these cliffs. Now, normally like the water is higher, but because there's been a drought, the water was like way lower, like about 15 feet lower. So instead of it being a 25-foot jump, it was like a 40-foot jump. And so they're like, "You want to go cliff jumping?" And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I did that when I was, like, in college, you know. And so we're talking and stuff on the boat. They pulled up to the spot. Some of the guys are getting out. And then I'm talking to this guy. And then they're like, "Hey, you want to go, Tommy?" I'm like, yeah. And then my friend's like, "You got to come, man." My boy Coop, he was like, "You got to come, bro." And I'm like, "All right, I'll come." And so it looked really high when you're below. But when we climbed up and we got up there and we're looking down, like, yo, it was like jumping off of four stories. And so I'm looking down and I'm like, oh, Lord. And everybody else had already jumped. I was with the last group that was going up. There was three of us. And the other two guys, I'm like, y'all can go first. I'll be the last one to go. So I'm like the last one up there. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to take the walk of shame and walk back down. Everybody else jumped, and they're like these little dots in the water. And like, come on, Tommy, the water's great. And the water was cold. The water was like 55, 60 degrees because it's up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere up near Canada. It's cold up there. It was warm outside, but the water was still cold. I'm a Florida boy now, risen from Philly, but my blood is thinned out. So I'm like, yo, that water's freezing. Y'all crazy, but all right. So I want to show you this video of me jumping off the cliff. Check it out. Watch how I hesitated for a while.
What up, Dougie? Tommy! Come on, Tommy.
So yeah, when you take a break, when you take a sabbatical, do some fun stuff. Do some stuff you've never done before. So the last week of my sabbatical, me and my wife, we went away, just me and her. No kids, the dog didn't come, no responsibility of taking care of anybody else. It was just me and my wife. And we went down to Fort Myers Beach, stayed in this spot that was right on the beach, and just had a great time together. It was cool because we parked our car. And we didn't even start our car the entire 4 days that we were there. It just sat in the same spot. We walked everywhere to dinner, walked up and down the beach. Like, there was a lot of little restaurants and places to kind of go around there. Took my wife jet skiing for the first time. She had never been on a jet ski before. I've been a few times. So just had some great fun times together, created some new memories. got some new energy, got refueled. And so here's the other big thing that I learned. I made a list right here in my planner, and I said, these are the things that I'm going to stop doing when I go back. These are the things that I'm going to start doing. So I encourage you, even if you just take a short break, like you could take a break for, if you can't, you know, be able to take a month off or whatever, take a week off, like take some time to rest and totally disconnect during that time. And when you're disconnected, it kind of really gives you a bigger view and focus of like, okay, well, I'm not doing certain things and habits with my phone because my phone is off right now. So what are some things that I want to change when I go back? What am I not going to start doing again? And what are some things I'm going to start doing? So I made this list, and I've been doing pretty good with it. When I'm filming this right now, I'm about a month off of sabbatical, and I'm doing pretty good so far. There's a few things I got to still tighten up on a little bit. But one of those things, let me give a couple examples. So one of the things I stopped doing was when I wake up in the morning, I used to always just turn my phone on and lay in bed. And I would start looking at everything. Who texted me? Let me check my emails. Let me go on Instagram. Let me come up with a post. What am I going to post today? What picture am I going to post? Then I got to come up with a caption. And then I want to look around on Instagram and see what some other people are doing. And there was many times where by the time I look at what time it is, I've been laying there now for 30 minutes in bed, or sometimes even longer than that. I mean, if it was like, you know, my day off or a day I didn't have to do anything till later, there was times I'd be on my phone for 45 minutes and I'm like, I just wasted 30 minutes or 45 minutes on my phone. And now I'm going to go spend time with the Lord. And my mind has already been racing and running and, you know, and there'd be every once in a while I wouldn't do it. But for the most part, I was usually waking up with my phone. Now, granted, I got to admit, I'm not a morning person. I'm an artist. So I'm a night owl. And in the morning, I'm kind of slower to get up. But I've had to force myself to say, I am not going to wake up with my phone anymore. So I do set my alarm. So all I do is click, turn it off, put it aside, lay there for a minute, wake up a little bit, get up, and I go over to my prayer closet and I spend time, you know, talking to the Lord. I have a prayer journal. I actually number my blessings. So every day I start with gratitude before I ask God for anything or like give my prayer request or God, I need this, help me with this, help that person, right? I say, man, I'm going to start with gratitude. And so I number those blessings. So this morning, it was blessing number 1,089. Yeah, so for 1,089 days, that has been my rhythm. I've been doing that. Now, I've missed a few days here and there, or I've, you know, when I traveled a few times, I forgot my notebook and tried to do it on my phone and stuff like that. But I always start with some gratitude. God, thank you for this blessing. And then many times I'll go back and read some of the other blessings, and then I'll have prayer requests. And I'll write down prayer requests or things I'm doing that day. God bless this meeting. Give me wisdom with this situation. Help this person that's sick, this situation that's happening over here. And then I'll many times leave some space and say, God, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying in this season of life? And sometimes I don't hear anything, but sometimes God will give me some stuff that I'll write down. And sometimes I get some of my most creative ideas, even when I'm producing content. I'll get it from my prayer closet. I get some of my most creative ideas for writing a book, for writing a sermon, for an illustration about something, for the way I'm going to handle a problem. Like God will drop a lot of times that wisdom and creativity on me right there. And that's in the morning. And remember, I'm not a morning person, right? I'm an artist. So, and then from there, I'll go ahead in my office and I'll read a little bit. I'll usually read some word and pray a little bit more, then I'll look at my phone. You know, so that first like 30 minutes of my day, sometimes more than that, is going to be dedicated to the Lord before I'm even going to go here and then start looking at all the things that I got to, you know, work on that day. People I got to call back, people I got to talk to, people I got to, you know, situations that are coming up. Oh, I got to answer that right now. And before you know it, like you're working and you haven't even spent the time with God if you start with this first. So now I've been disciplined, and that's just one example of a change that I've made since I've been on sabbatical, because I stopped doing everything. And so I said, I'm not going to go back to doing that anymore. I'm going to do something different. So then what about some things to start? What are some things I started doing differently? That's a different way that I wake up. I started, you know, not waking up with my phone and going straight to spend time with God. But just some other things, like on sabbatical, you know, as a visionary, as an innovator, as an entrepreneur, as a visionary pastor, I'm always trying to get better. And on sabbatical, there was a bunch of new ideas that I had. So those of you that are pastors or church planners, or you work on a church team, or even if you're an artist, this is still, or you run a company, this is still a key thing. So it's about leveraging technology to give a personal touch. And so I'm like, man, I want to be better at that when I come back. And so remember, this was my regular phone, right? This was my sabbatical phone. And I was going to turn my sabbatical phone in. I was going to sell it, because I actually bought this. It's like an iPhone. I don't know what number it is. It's the older one. But it's, you know, it's decent. But I was going to sell it, get rid of it. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to actually keep this. I never wanted to be that guy with two phones, right? But this phone actually stays in my office at the church. And so I kept this phone specifically for church stuff. So what I started doing with it was, what I started doing is, every time we have new visitors, which is every Sunday at our church, praise God, we've been averaging 15 to 20 new families that are attending our church every Sunday. New people every week, 15 to 20. It's crazy. Now, we're blessed because we're in Florida. Everybody's moving here. Like, everybody and their grandmom is moving here. It is just, we are booming down here. Like, when you come down here for Flavor Fest and see, like, you're, many of you that haven't been here in several years, you're not even going to recognize this city. There's so many new buildings and construction, and the skyline's changing, and like, it's just ramping up. But so that's a blessing, that there's new people coming and we want to welcome them. So what I've been doing with this sabbatical phone, which is now my visitor phone. And so I'll record a custom video. Here's a pro tip for you, right? I'm talking about how you can give that personal touch and leverage technology. So I will give a personal video message customized to every single family. I have their connection card. And so let's say that Carlos and his wife Susan, they visited, and I got their connection card. It's got some information. And I remember meeting Carlos. Yeah, he just moved here from New York. And so then I'll do the video selfie style right here in my office with this crazy wall behind me. And I'll be walking around, moving a little bit. And I'll be like, hey, what's going on, Carlos and Susie? How y'all doing? It's Pastor Tommy from Crossover. Hey, it was great to meet you guys on Sunday. So glad you guys just moved here from New Jersey and you decided to come and give Crossover a try. It was so great to meet you guys again. Welcome to Tampa. Hey, I wanted to personally invite you to come back this Sunday. We're continuing our series on blah, 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 blah. And hey, you know, I'm praying for you guys. I got your card today and I hope to see you guys soon. God bless. Peace. Boom. And I text that video message to them. Just a 30-second, maybe 40 seconds at the very most, little video. And I text it to them. And listen, y'all, like 75% plus of all the people that I've texted, and I've done almost 100 of them now in the past month, 75% text me back. And many of them are like, I'll see you Sunday. Oh, this is so cool. I can't believe you texted me. Other people are like, is this really you? I'm like, yes, that was me. It wasn't a, you know, a robot or a clone or something, right? Some people hit me back with questions that were like, oh, hey, you know, do you have a Wednesday night Bible study, or do you have something for my teenager? Or I heard something about a class to become a member. I really want to become a member. I love it. You know, and then other people have just said stuff like, you know, I've been moved here from so-and-so and I've been looking for a church and I think I found it. You know, just amazing stuff. And so then what we did at the end of the month, all those first-time visitors from July, I texted them a message and said, hey, me and my wife would like to invite you to dessert on Zoom this Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Would love to hang out with you, get to know you a little bit more, share a little bit more about who we are and what we do at the church. Would you like to come? And I put something like, you have to bring your own dessert, LOL. Do you want me to send you the link? So I just left it hanging. I didn't like send everybody the link randomly. I wanted to know like who's interested. I'm gonna put this in your court. So there was, I think, about 45 people that got that specific text, and about a dozen of them, they responded back and said, yes, send me the link. And so 11 people showed up on that. Yeah, it was only 11 out of 45, so it was maybe about 25% that showed up on Zoom. But man, it was an incredible touch point. Me and my wife we spent about 45 minutes. We went around, people shared their name, where they were from, how they heard about the church, what's one thing that stood out to them that they really liked about the church. And we just got to share and talk. I shared about the church for maybe like 10 minutes, a little bit more details. Then the action step was like, hey, this Sunday, if you really like the church, you want to get plugged in, we have our 3D growth track, and that's how you become a member and how you can learn how to discover, develop, and display. That's our 3Ds at Crossover. And so like several of them went to the class and they're getting plugged in. So our retention rate of first-time visitors has gone through the roof. Why? Because there was that personal touch. You know, I'm the guy that was up on the stage and now like, oh my gosh, he's sending me a video and I can ask him a question, or he's saying he wants to, you know, me to come to the Zoom thing. And so we've seen many of those visitors come back. Many of them are plugging in, becoming members. Some of them came to some other events, whatever, back to school event. We had a business owners and entrepreneur breakfast last Saturday. There was like three of them that were on the Zoom call that came to that. We had 41 business owners that came out to it. It was amazing. So God is doing some really, really cool stuff because we started doing some new things and putting some new systems in place. And I'm excited to see where we're going to be at in another 3 to 6 months as we consistently keep doing that. That's one thing as leaders. When you find something and you start doing that's working, like stay consistent with it. Like keep doing it. Yeah, does it take me some time to do videos? Or 3 weeks ago, I had to do videos for 24 families. 24, right? So that you can imagine, that took some time. It took almost an hour to do all those videos. Most of them were one take, but I took some breaks in between. You got to breathe a little bit. But man, the results of it have been amazing to touch lives and get them connected at our church and ultimately connected to become disciples of Jesus and grow in their walk with Christ. So all that to say, that was just some like innovation stuff. If you enjoyed that, every month I actually do a coaching network for pastors and church planners. It's called the Innovative Pastors Network. And you can find out more information about that at translationleadership.com. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, it's in the description link. And jump in, be a part of it. Every month, we're sharing stuff that is working in real time right now at our church. That's been amazing. And we're also bringing in guests on a regular basis as well that are sharing some stuff that's working in churches around the country right now, because everything's changed and it's rapidly changing and it's still going to change more. We thought we were fully out of the pandemic, and now with the cases rising right now as I'm filming this, the very beginning of August, it's like, okay, this isn't over yet. You know, God, give us wisdom, give us guidance in this next season. And so yeah, if you're a pastor, a church planner, and you want to get some fresh ideas for this next season, like connect with the Innovative Pastors Network. Would love to connect with you and serve you and help you. There's a couple dozen guys that are part of it. And maybe that's something you need to start doing in this next season. So yeah, so my prayer for you guys is to rest and not get burned out and stay healthy. And so take care of your immune system, y'all. I'm a big advocate of taking care of your temple. Like, yeah, you could wear a mask, you can do some of these other things, you can distance from people, all that, blah, blah, blah. I know it's controversial. Hey, do you want to get the vaccine? You don't, that's up to you. Pray about it. But even beyond all that, what they're not telling us many times is like, take care of your immune system. That's why people are getting sick. You know, take your vitamins. Some of y'all don't take vitamins. As a leader, you need to take vitamins to protect your immune system. Take vitamin C, vitamin D, take some zinc, take some regular supplements, eat healthy. You should be an example, a role model to the people that are following you. Get your sleep. I know we all got work to do. There's never enough hours in the day, right? But you need to get your rest. You need to be getting 7-8 hours of sleep. It's different for everybody, but get your rest so you're not tired. And when you're tired, your immune system is weaker. So a virus comes along, it can slap you in the face. if your immune system's not where it should be, right? So exercise, you know, get outside, get some fresh air, get in the sunlight, you know, especially if you in a place where the sun is great, like Florida, or get some natural vitamin D, right? I want to see you guys be healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. We're going to cover some of that stuff in some upcoming podcasts as well. But let me read Matthew 11, 28 and 29 to you in the Message Bible. And I'm going to end with this and pray for you today. And it says this. I love the way the Message breaks it down. And this is going to speak to some of you right now. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. This is Jesus talking. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Ooh. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I love the part that says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's what I pray for you guys today. Many of you that are listening to this today, you need some new rhythms and you need to learn to get in that rhythm where rest is a part of it. So let me pray for you today. God, we come before you today. We thank you for rest. We thank you, God, how you've even wired our bodies, our minds, our souls to be able to grind and work hard and accomplish a lot of things for your glory. But then you also designed us so we need to rest. And when we don't, and all of us have been there before, we try to push it and that light pops up on the dashboard, like check engine. It pops up where we get tired, we get burned out, we get exhausted. And God, I pray for the leader that's been listening to this podcast or watching it on YouTube. And I lift them up to you, those that are just weary right now. And like Matthew chapter 11 says, it says, you see, Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. God, I pray that they'll come to you. They'll disconnect. Maybe they need to put their phone in a drawer, at least for a day maybe, but maybe for a week or two. Maybe they need a sabbatical and they can talk to the people that they lead and their team and take some extended time off. God, we want to see leaders be healthy. That's what Flavor Fest is about, equipping leaders to lead from a healthy place. And so God, just touch them today. Breathe new life into them. Encourage them today. May they be inspired. May they have some conversations with some people they need to about getting some rest coming up, taking some time off. And maybe they're even going to come to Flavor Fest and get poured into and then stay in Tampa for an extra few days and just rest, go to the beach, go to Busch Gardens, just stay in the hotel and sleep extra. I don't know. But God, I pray that you will push them to pursue and get the things they need to, get the rest that they need to, so they can have longevity and they can have legacy and so they won't burn out and mess up as well. So many leaders have messed up and made bad decisions and scandals have happened and all kinds of things. And that always came from a tired, exhausted, unhealthy place. And I pray that people that might be in that space right now, God, that you restore and reset them and refuel them today and rebuild them. Bless them today. Pray this in Christ's name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, family, thank you guys for hanging out with me today. It was just me. Every once in a while, we do a leadership podcast where it's just me. A lot of times I have guests on, though, generally. And again, if you got something good out of today, like it, share it, let some people know about it. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, like rate it for us. That would be great. If you're watching it on YouTube, it's available on my YouTube channel, UrbanD813. Go ahead and like subscribe, let some people know about it. We're going to continue to keep creating content every week from now until Flavor Fest, which is in October. And we're going to keep doing it after that, but we're making a commitment to really put a lot of stuff out to stay in front of you guys, to get you ready for the conference that's coming up in October. So it's October the 7th through the 10th. It's in person. We're also going to have a virtual option if you cannot make it, but we really want to encourage you to try. You need to get out the house and come do something. We're going to do it in a way that's safe, space, sanitized, and super dope. That's the four S's that we're about since we reopened. But if you can't come to Florida, if you go to flavorfest.org, there is going to be some information on there coming up to where you'll be able to stream some of the conference, the leadership conference virtually, and the concerts. So in the evening, we have the music festivals, and we got some of the top names in Christian hip hop are going to be here. And we've got some great speakers and workshop tracks for church planting, for artists, for youth pastors, for urban apologetics, for innovation and entrepreneurship. We even have a track for pastors' kids and ministry leaders' kids. Yeah, because some of you were bringing your families and your kids, and like they were trying to find something to do during the conference. And so we're gonna have that available this year too. So flavorfest.org is how you get the details. And I encourage you, bring a team of people. If you bring a team of seven or more, you actually get $20 off per registration. So details are on the website. Check it out. Next week, we got an incredible church planter that's going to be on with us, a guy that's also a rapper, record label owner at one time, and he launched the church a little bit over 5 years ago, and they are killing it. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multi-class church that's doing a ton of outreach, reaching people. They've grown from zero to like over 500 people. We're super proud of them. We've walked with them along the journey. I'm one of the overseers of the church. It's all the way up in Lansing, Michigan. We're going to be talking to my guy, Jerome Verling. He's been at Flavor Fest before. He's doing a workshop this year on church planting, so you're going to be able to hear from him. But so don't miss the next episode of the podcast. It's coming next week. It's dropping. So God bless you guys. I'm praying for you, and I hope to see you at Flavor Fest.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.